Begin the current daf Masechtas Brachos daf Mem Dal. We begin on the top line. The Gemara begins a new Mishnah, continuing the halachas regarding Birchas Hanen. Specifically, our Mishnah will discuss regarding the halachas of Ikar V'Tafel, when there's many different ingredients in one food item, and one is the main ingredient. Now there are secondary ingredients to it. That halacha is that we make a bracha on the Ikar, and that patters that exempts the Tafel, the secondary things, and we'll see how far that extends to. The Mishnah begins. Hiviu lefan of meliacht betchila upasimay. If it was brought in front of someone, something that was salty, any salty food item, and bread was brought with that salty item, so the halacha is mevarach al malich upaitas apas. You make a bracha on the main ingredient, which is the main thing that you're coming to eat, is the salty item, and that exempts even bread. Although bread is generally the most chashuv of a thing, and that's the bracha you make on here, because your ikr is the salty item, therefore that's what you make the bracha on, and therefore the bread is only coming as, so to speak, as the Mishnah says, shapas tfeil, because the bread is subordinate to the ikr, to the salty thing. And that's why you don't make a bracha on the bread rather than the salty thing, as the Mishnah says, zeh haklal. This is the general rule. Kol shu ikr v'imei tfeila, whenever you have something that's the main ingredient and something that's secondary to that, mevarach ala ikr poitas tfeila, you only make a bracha on the main ingredient, and that exempts the tafel, something that's secondary to it. So now the Gemara asks, is it even possible to say that the salty item is, so to speak, the main ingredient and the bread is secondary? Bread is always eaten as nourishment, as the main staple of a meal. So even if that's like you desire the most to eat the salty item, but the bread is definitely an ikr also, and therefore, because of its chashivas, it takes precedence and it should be the ikr, not the salty item. So the Gemara answers, it's talking about a specific case. We're talking about when we said this salty thing is talking about when someone eats the fruits of the land by the river, by the Kinneret, which are more chashiv than bread. And as the Gemara is going to show, the different chashivas and that different amiram had regarding these fruits. So therefore, since there were salty things that were eaten together with these sweet fruits, and those things, so to speak, were the most chashiv, even more than bread, and bread actually was the tafel, was secondary to these sweet fruits of the Genusa, which grow by the Kinneret, because they're so chashuv, as the Gemara brings the different praises that were said about these fruits. Rabbi Bachana says, when we would go behind Rabbi Yechanan, when he would go to eat the fruits of the Genusa, when we were 100, meaning with 100 Talmidim of Rabbi Yechanan, so then each one of us, 100, we would gather for him, we would pick for him, each one of us 10, so therefore 100 times 10 would be 1,000. He would have 1,000 fruits. When we were just 10 Talmidim, then each one of us would have to pick 100, again, to be the same 1,000, that's how many fruit he would eat. And each one of these 100 fruits have a machzik l'utzana bar tlosis savi. Each one would be contained in a basket full of 3 saw. In other words, that's how large they were, that's how big they were, that 100 of them would be in a basket of 3 saw. Va'ochalhu u'mishtabed lo'tam ziyuna. And he would eat all these 1,000 fruits, and he would swear that he didn't eat any food. To which the Gemara asks, ziyuna sokadayadach, can you say that it means that he didn't eat mazon, which is that loshen ziyuna is mashma that anything, a food item. Of course he ate food, he ate 1,000 fruits. What it is that he said is that he swore that he didn't eat mezoinus, which is sustenance, is something that sayid satiates it. And because these fruits were so sweet, as we know with dessert, it's never enough. You always want a second helping. And that's what it was, that he had eaten 1,000, but he didn't feel satisfied. He still felt hungry. That's how sweet and how delicious these fruits were. Similarly, the Gemara brings that Rebbe Vo, ochel adahav shorikli dudva me'apuse, that he would eat so much of it until a fly would slip off his forehead. And that is because he had this shine, that his skin was so oily from these fruits, that a fly would actually slip off. That's how much they would eat from it. Moreover, the Gemara brings Reb Amir Ravasi, have achli adenosu mazahu. They ate so much of it until their hair fell out. Also, some probably related to the oiliness of the fruit. That's how much they ate of it. Gemara brings another Amar, B'shem Melakish, have achal ademarid. He ate so much until he became delirious. That is, he lost his das. And the Gemara brings that V'amar Elohu Rabbi Yechanan L'debei Nasiya, that Rabbi Yechanan would notify the house of the Nasi, who was in charge of, so to speak, ordinance in the country. V'av Meshad L'Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda the Nasi would send Ba'alushi Abasi, would send troops after him, U'maisi Le'i L'Beis, and that they could bring him home. In other words, he totally lost his das because he had eaten so much of these fruits. So we see how great it is, and that's why it is the ikr, even when it's eaten with bread. And that's what we mean when we say meluach, that the different Rishonim say exactly what is this salty thing. It was to counter the sweetness of the fruits, but it's when you're eating the peretz kenuser that then bread becomes the tuffel because they are so chashub. Now the Gemara continues, we're speaking about the Shvach of Eretz Yisrael, specifically the fruits by grow by the Yam Kinneret. Now the Gemara talks in general or regarding the Shvach of Eretz Yisrael. Kiyosar Avdim, and Avdim came down from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. There was one city that there was for Yanai, who was the king over there in Eretz Yisrael, and Har HaMelech. That he would bring out 600,000 bowls of tuna just to be able to feed the ones that pick the figs from one Shabbos to the other. In other words, for 1 week's worth, that the food that was necessary to feed the ones picking the figs was so much that they needed 600,000 bowls of tuna. That's how much figs there were. That's how so to speak, how much bracha there was in Eretz Yisrael, that they needed that much food to feed those just they were picking the figs. Similarly, the Gemara brings Kasa Ravan. Ravan came from Eretz Yisrael. There was one tree that was by Yana HaMelech in Har HaMelech. That he would take down 40 saw, which is a large amount, of young pigeons from three different broods three times in 1 month. That's how many chickens, that's how many birds there were, these pigeons, three times a month. That's how much they would take down, 40 saw, to show again how much bracha there was in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara continues, Amor Shvach of Eretz Yisrael. There was one city in Eretz Yisrael, and it was called Gufnis. That there were 80 different sets of twins that were kahanim, that were nesuim l'shmoinim zugas achoyis kahanim, that were married to 80 different pairs of girl twins, and they were also kahanas. Ubadku rabbanim misur vad nadar b'lashkocho. However, here in Babel, they checked from sur to nadar, which was a large area, and they didn't find the same type of thing. We see how Eretz Yisrael had such a shvach of yichis to have 80 pairs of kahanim marrying 80 pairs of kahanois, and here in Babel, they couldn't find bar mi bansid rav chizda to have a nesivin l'ram b'chama ulamarok v'b'chama. Besides the daughters of rav chizda, that they were married to twins of Rami Bachama and to the two sons of Rami Bachama and Maruk Bachama, and it says the va'afagav the in he have a kahanan in although the daughters of Chizda they were kahanos in holay v'kahanan. However, these two sons of Chama they were not even kahanim. So in other words, that's the most we're able to find about, so to speak, siblings marrying siblings. Whereas in Eretz Yisrael they had such a gevaldig yichus that they had these twins, 80 pairs of kahanim marrying 80 pairs of kahanas. Now the Gemara ends off with halacha related to suda. Amrav kol suda she'im ba melech in the suda. Rav said any meal that doesn't have salt, and maybe it's related to the Mishnah that spoke about adav meluach, if the meal does not have salt, it's not a suda. You have to have salt. It's a necessary ingredient, possibly iodine. Amrav chiyah b'rabba amrav yechanan kol suda she'im ba shogaf in the suda. Rav Yechanan says, moreover, he says that if the meal doesn't have soup, it's not a meal. You have to have salt and you have to have soup for it to be considered a meal. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, which talks about the Shivas Aminim, what are the proper brachas on when one eats from the seven fruits that Eretz Yisrael is praised in. The Mishnah begins, Ochel anovim b'te'enim, remind them, someone eats grapes or figs or pomegranates, again, these are from the Shivas Aminim. Mavarach achreim sholish brachas, divrei m'lirim. Lil says, you make afterward three brachas, which is a reference to the three brachas m'natayra of Birchas HaMazon. And that is Rabbi Gamliel's Lishitasa and Daf Lamed Zayin that he says, whatever's from the Shivas Aminim, you mevarach achrav gimel brachis, you make after it Birchas HaMazon. V'chacham ma'imim bracha achas. The Chacham say you make only one bracha, that's me'ein shalish, you make an ala eitz. You don't make a Birchas HaMazon on fruits like grapes or pomegranates, you make ala eitz. The Mishnah continues, Rabbi Kiva Aymer, afil ochel shalik v'u mezayna. He says that even if you're eating cooked vegetables, but it's your meal, in other words, that's what you rely on for your sustenance, mevarach alav gimel brachas, you make Birchas HaMazon on that, because that's considered your meal. Now the Mishnah continues with a different halacha. Hashayis and mayim litzamayi, if someone drinks water for his thirst, mevarach shahakol nibidvar, he makes the shahakol, because then he's drinking it for his thirst. He says, though, the bracha you make before you drink water is the nusach that Hashem makes different, the souls, different creations, and their deficiencies, which Rashi says means to say that the deficiencies of people that they need, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates things to fulfill those deficiencies. So that's the machlokes about what's the bracha on water beforehand. Is it shahakol or bar nefashis? Now the Gemara goes to explain the Mishnah. My Tam Dermil, what is the Pshat of Emliel that he says you make a Birchas Hamazon, not just on bread like we know, but he says even on the Shivas Aminim. So he says he brings a pasuk, the Chsiv Eretz Chitus Ayir, the pasuk that talks about the seven things. The Shivas Aminim says it's the land of wheat and barley, etc. Then it says Uchsiv Eretz Ashaloivim Meskenus Toicha Balechem, a Gomer that the land that will not eaten with poverty, you'll eat bread. In other words, a bread that you'll eat without poverty. Uchsiv, and right after it says V'chalta Bezavata Berachtes Hashem Lekecha, that you'll eat, you'll be satisfied, and you'll bless Hashem your God. Which that means it's going back on all the psukim, and that, in other words, which is a reference to Eretz Chitus Ha'ir, which are the Shivas Aminim. And that pasuk, when it says Berachta, it's a reference to the three brachas of Birchas Hamazon, as the Gemara says in Shleisha Shachon Daf Mem Ches Mem Beis, that we see that all the three brachas of Birchas Hamazon Deraisa are there in Berachta. And since it's going Eretz Chitus Ha'ir and Lechem and the Berachta, so therefore we see that Birchas Hamazon goes in the Shivas Aminim also. However, the Rabbanan, that they say that one does not make Birchas Hamazon and Shivas Aminim, Eretz Hifsek Inyan, the word Eretz interrupts, and that is the word of Berach is only going back on Lechem, which is right, the pasuk right next to it. But regarding the Shivas Aminim, it says Eretz Chitus Ha'ir, and then it says Eretz towards the Enosa, that word Eretz interrupts, and therefore the Berach is not going back. In other words, where it says Eretz Ashaloivim Meskenus, that extra Eretz, which starts the pasuk after Shivas Aminim, that interrupts, and therefore Berach, the Birchas Hamazon, not going back in the Shivas Aminim. To which the Gemara asks, Rabbi Gamliel, Nami Eretz Hefsegin. Chay, the word Eretz, again in the pasuk of Eretz Ashleim Meskenus Toicha Balechem, that Eretz interrupts, to so to speak, not to go back on the Shivas Aminim beforehand. So why does he say you make a Birchas Hamazon? So he says, Ahumi Boyle, Lemuita Hakoisis Achit. He says, we need that Eretz to qualify and to say that it excludes someone that chews the grain. And that is, when someone is eating bread, it's necessarily only if he turns it into flour, which then he turns into bread. However, regarding the grain, although we say by the Shivas Aminim is going to be considered that you'll make a Birchas Hamazon afterwards, Chit is different. And that's what the second pasuk of Eretz is qualifying that and saying that if you're going to chew the wheat and not turn it into lechem, then it won't be included in the bracha of Birchas Hamazon. So now the Gemara wants to say the halacha. Amr B'Yakov Bar'idim Ramchanina, Kol Shum Mechamish is Aminim, whatever is from the five Minim. And these are all the different types of grains there are, which are wheat, barley, spelt, rye, oats. And that is that regarding kusmin, which is spelt, that's a type of a wheat. And we have rye and oats, those are both types of barley. So therefore, they're both included in the pasuk when it says chit and sa'irin. So there the halach is, betchilim avarach lav barimin mezainis, el b'saif bracha achas mein shalish. That originally you make the bracha barimin mezainis, and towards the end you make a ala michya, as our minig is. The first bracha you make on the Shivas Aminim is Bari Pir Eitz, and the bracha Achrein is Achas Mein Shalish, as the Chacham say in our Mishnah, you make an Alam Eitz, as again our minhag is that we make a Bari Pir Eitz, and we did not make a Birchas Hamazon, rather we make Achas Mein Shalish, as an abridged version of, so to speak, benching, which takes the three brachas and makes it into one, that's known as Alam Eitz. That's what the Gemara discusses right now. But specifically, what is the exact nusach of this ala eitz, ala michya? This is what's commonly known as me'ein gimel, which is an abridged version of Birchas Hamazon. That's what we make after the Shivas Aminim and after Mini Dagan. What is this nusach? Amalei Abayler of Dimi, Ma'inihu bracha achs min shalosh. What is this one bracha that's an abridgment of three? So Amalei, Aper the eitz, regarding fruits of a tree, again, necessarily the from the Shivas Aminim that of Eretz Yisrael, like grapes and pomegranates, there the bracha is ala eitz v'al priya eitz, that Hashem created the trees and the fruits of the tree, and we thank Him for the produce of the field, and the desirable land, that's good and it's spacious, that you inherited to our fathers, to eat from its fruits and to be satisfied and happy from its goodness. Hashem, you should have mercy on your Klal Yisrael and on your holy city, Yerushalayim, on your temple and on your mizbech, your altar. You should build Yerushalayim, your holy city, speedily in our days. And you should bring us up into there, and you should make us happy over there. Because you're good and you do good to all. That is the nusach one makes when he makes an alo eitz, which is after the Shivas Aminim, specifically of the fruits. The chamesh aminim, regarding the five types of grains, then the bracha achrein is as follows. Ala michya v'alkakala, we thank you, Hashem, for the nourishment and the sustenance, v'altanubas asada, and on the produce of the field, v'chulu, etc. As we mentioned before, it's the same nusach as ala eitz. just the beginning and the end is different. As we say, v'chayismen, it concludes, ala oritz v'ala michya, that we thank Hashem for the land and for the nourishment. So now the Gemara asks, michtem b'may chasim, how do we conclude regarding fruits? And that is, what is the exact nusach when we end? We say, al ha'aretz v'al ha'michya, we said regarding the michya. But what is it regarding fruits? So the Gemara says, ki as Rav Dimi Amar, when Rav Dimi came, he said, that Rav Chosim Rish Chodesh Baruch Mekadesh Yisrael B'Rosh HaKadoshim, that when it was Rish Chodesh, he would end his tefillah by saying, Hashem, we thank Hashem, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadesh Yisrael, that he sanctified Klal Yisrael and Rish Chodesh. And that is, although it sounds like he's saying two chasimis, which again, it's a reference to Klal Yisrael and the Rish Chodesh, so still, it would be one thing, the entity of Klal Yisrael and the Kedush of Rish Chodesh is one. So the question was, Hachamai, what's the halacha over here? In other words, how do we end off the bracha of Alo Eitz? Do we say Alo Oretz or Alo Peres? And that would not be considered, so to speak, ending with two things? Or is it a problem? Would it be considered two different things? One's the Oretz, one's the Peres, and therefore you can't end off by saying two different shvachim. It has to be, you have to end with one component, one idea. So the Gemara says, Rav Chisda Amar Alo Oretz v'Alo Peres, Sarah, says that it's not a problem. It's also the same as these Mekadesh Yisrael and Rosh Chodeshim. It's one idea that we thank Hashem on the land and on its fruits. However, he says, we thank Hashem on the land and on the fruits. So we have Machlekes, one said land and the fruits, and one said its fruits, which is a reference to Eretz Yisrael. So Rebam says, and they're not really arguing. Halan v'alahu, that's for them and that's for us. In other words, Rav Chisda was from Bavel. And above all, there they would conclude that we thank Hashem for the land on its fruits. Rabbi Yochanan, who is from Eretz Yisrael, there they would conclude that we thank Hashem for the land and on the fruits. To which the Gemara asks, "Maskeb Lord Benachem BaYitzchok, Inu Achli Vanam Mevarchin." They eat the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, and we go ahead and we make the bracha al Peraseha. In other words, regarding Eretz Yisrael, we're not eating the fruits of Eretz Yisrael. Why would we say al Oretz val Peraseha? We're not eating the fruits of it, so we thank Hashem for the land, that we got the land, but we don't have the fruits of it now, and we thank Hashem for the fruits that we have here in Bavel. So then the Gemara says, El Epech, correct, it's exactly the opposite. Rav Chisda, Amal Arz Vala Peres, Rav Chisda, who is from Bavel, he said that the Nusach is, we thank Hashem for the land and on the fruits, because it's any fruits. B'yechon, Amal Arz Vala Peres, B'yechon, who is in Eretz Yisrael, he said that we make the Nusach, where we thank Hashem on the land and on its fruits, that if it was someone in Eretz Yisrael, that would be the nusach he would be saying, because it's eating the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, which is a higher shvach than just regular fruits in the world. Now we continue on to Memdal and Mebeis. The Gemara continues with the halacha of Bar Nefashis. Omer of Yitzchak Bar Avdimi Mishum Rabbeinu, they say in the name of Rav, al habeya v'amine kufra, on eggs and different types of meat, betchilim avarach shahakol, ul b'saif Bar Nefashis Shabbos v'chulo, since they don't grow from the ground. So the first bracha, the bracha Rishayin, is shahakol. And then the bracha achrein is the burn of fashas rabbis. But regarding vegetables, there we wouldn't even make a bracha achrein, we wouldn't make a burn of fashas, because it's a lower madrig, it's even less than that. But Yitzchak says, no, even by vegetables. But water does not deserve, so to speak, a bracha achrein. Papa says, no, even water, you're going to make a shahakal and a burn of fashas rabbis. So the Gemara says, that mazutra ovid kreb Yitzchak b'abdimi, Rav Mazutra did like Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, that again, he didn't make a bracha achrayna on vegetables. Rav Shimi Bar Ashi of the Krib Yitzchak, he did like Yitzchak that he made on vegetables, but he didn't make a bracha achrayna on water. But some Menachem, the Gemara says, the simon, how to remember who did like what, is chad ketrei, v'trei kechad. That one is like two, and the two is like one. And that is, Mazutra, that here is mentioned as an individual without the name of his father, he's one, he did like Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, who is mentioned in his name and his father's name. And the two that's like one is Mabra Vashi, that's mentioned with his name and his father's name. He did like Rabbi Yitzchak, who is also only mentioned one. So that's one did like two, and two did like one. That's because the Chacham always had to give Simon to remember. They wanted to give themselves the ability to remember who said what, to have a klar Messiah. So the Gemara concludes that Amra Vashi, I know me, that Zimnan Dechim and Tkarna, when I remember, Avinikakul, I do like all of them, and that is, I even make a bracha achreina on water. It's always important to make a bracha achrayna even on water, and make a bracha on everything. So that's the way we paskin, that we make a bracha achrayna even on water. So now the Gemara asks, that is, now we learn in the Mishnah, in Masechtas Nida, kol shetoin bracha la'acharav, toin bracha lefanav, whatever needs a bracha afterwards, needs a bracha beforehand. V'yesh shetoin bracha lefanav, and toin bracha la'acharav, but there are those things that need a bracha before, a bracha rishayna, but they don't need a bracha afterwards, they don't make a bracha achrayna, to which the Gemara asks, Bishlam Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi Lafuki Yarka. So it makes sense according to Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi that he said that it's coming to exclude vegetables and for sure water, that one makes a bracha beforehand, but that one does not make a bracha afterwards, one does not make a bracha in the fleshes. And the Rav Yitzchak but Lafuki Maya. And regarding Rav Yitzchak, it's also understandable that you make a bracha reshayna on water, but you don't make a bracha achrayna. Rav Papa Lafuki Maya, according to Rav Papa, that everything we make a bracha reshayna and achrayna, even water. So what are we excluding? What is it that you make a bracha reshayna and not a bracha achrayna? When it says lafuki mitzvahs, coming to exclude mitzvahs, that is, one does not make a bracha when he takes off his tefillin or his tzitzis or after he blows the shofar or after he took the lulav. So therefore, that you only make a bracha reshayna. Asheket Hashem says it's vanu al natilas lulav. You make a bracha before him, but you don't make a bracha afterwards. To which Gemara asks, lo b'nei ma'ruv the basin v'salak tefillayu. But according to those in Eretz Yisrael, those people, that after they take off the tefillin, they do make a bracha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us and made us holy with his mitzvahs, and he commanded us to observe his decrees, lafukei ma'aseh, what are we excluding? Because even mitzvahs have a bracha achrayna. So the Gemara says, lafukei richani, it's come to exclude fragrances. And that is, although a fragrance requires a bracha rishayna, you have to make a bracha al atzi b'sam, min b'sam, depending on what type of fragrance it is. However, the mefarshim, the rishayim, explain that you don't make a bracha achrayna either because it's not chashav enough or because it's already like digested. In other words, it's already not there. Food, we can make a bracha achrayna up until 72 minutes or whatever the shear is, that because it's still, so to speak, in our system, so it's, we can make a bracha on it. But once it's already digested, we can't make a bracha achrayna. Similarly, fragrances, once you had it, it's fleeting, it's gone, you can't make a bracha achrayna anymore. So that's what, according to everybody, would exclude. You make a bracha achrayna, not a bracha achrayna. So once the Gemara discussed eggs, that the bracha rishayin is shahakal and the bracha achrayin is burn the flesh, now the Gemara discusses the incredible health benefits of eggs. The Gemara says, Amr b'yana amr b'zera, kol shukabeya beya toivimena. Whatever is the size of an egg is better than that. And that is, you don't have any food that's the same size as an egg, that an egg shouldn't be healthier for the body. Now the Gemara elaborates on this and says, the ki asa ravin, Amr, he says it depends what type of egg it is. Tava be'asa migulgalta, it's better to have a slightly roasted, but yet it's still a little liquidy egg. Mishisa kaisi sulta is better than even 6 kaisi of fine flour. And now the Gemara qualifies that a little bit further. Ki asa Ravdimi, when Ravdimi came, he said, Amar, tava be'asa migulgalta mishisa, that a slightly roasted egg is better than 6 kaisi of fine flour. Matvisa, a fully roasted egg, is better, me'arba that, better than 4 kaisi of fine flour. In other words, it's a little bit lower. If it's a hard-boiled egg, and that is if it's boiled in water, not roasted, and this is what the Ribyane had said before the halacha, that whatever is like an egg, that same size, an egg is better than it, that kol shukabeya, whatever is the size of an egg, beya tevimen, an egg is better than that. In other words, but if it's larger than an egg, let's say 6 kaisi of fine flour, then it would be better, because the hard-boiled is lower than fully roasted, or for sure less than slightly roasted. However, the Gemara says, labami bisra, besides meat. Meat is the only thing that if it's the same size as an egg, it wins, so to speak, for the health of the body over an egg. But besides meat, and anything that's the size of an egg, even a hard-boiled egg, an egg is better than that food item. So now the Gemara returns to the Mishnah. Rebbe Kiva said in our Mishnah that even if one eats cooked vegetables, if that's his main meal, if that's what he relies on, so then he'll make birchas hamazon even on the cooked vegetables. To which the Gemara asks, is it possible to have that cooked vegetables will be a person's sustenance, his main nourishment? How could you survive on cooked vegetables? How could that be your main sustenance to make birchas hamazon? So Rav Ashi says, talk about a stalk of cabbage. And that is, as the Gemara later says, that we learn the Braisa, that kruv lamazon, that cabbage is eaten for sustenance, and therefore that could be made a birchas hamazon on it, because that could be a person's main mazon. Now the Gemara brings, and regarding this, that cabbage is a person's sustenance, it brings a few different food items regarding healthful habits. So Gemara says, "Tchil yofel lishinayim v'kosh lemenei ma'ayim." That the meat of the spleen is good for the teeth, but it's harsh on the person's intestines. Ukrishin and leek kosh lishinayim v'yofel lemenei ma'ayim. It's the exact opposite. It's harsh on the teeth, but it's good for the intestines. The Gebraisa continues that kol yerek chai meirik. Any raw vegetables, it pales the person, and that is, it takes away his shine of his face. It's harsh on the person. Cholkotnan, anything that's small, that is, it didn't totally grow as much as it was supposed to, and the Gemara later is going to explain what is that shear, then makdin, that makes a person small, again, cotton makdin, it impedes a person's growth. Cholnefesh, and anything that's a soul, in other words, it's something that's eaten complete. For example, there are certain small fish, like herring, that they have already reached their full growth, Meshavas and Nefesh, that restores the soul, because it's the total, complete, it's the exact opposite of something that's cut and that didn't reach its full growth. B'chol karv le-nefesh, and anything that's close to the soul, in other words, if someone eats from an animal in the place of where the life source of the animal is, and the Gemara later is going to explain what that is, that's Meshavas and Nefesh, that also restores a person's soul to himself. And the Brisa continues, and this is why we brought this, kruv le-mazen. The cabbage is eaten for sustenance, and again, that is why we said before that one could make birchas hamazon according to Rabbi Akiva when he eats a meal of the stalks of cabbage, because that is eaten for sustenance. Utradin lerfu, and beets are eaten for therapeutic purposes. And then the Braisa concludes that oylei lebayis shalefas leberes b'toicha, woe to the house, which is a reference to a person's stomach, that if turnips pass through there, that if he eats turnips, it's harsh on the person. And therefore it says that woe to such a person that he's eating turnips. Now the Gemara explains this b'raisa. Amamar, we said that tchol yofel l'shanayim v'koshel b'nimayim, that spleen is good for the teeth, but it's harsh on the intestines. So ma'ita kanti. So what should a person do? In other words, he wants the health benefits for his teeth, but it's going to be harsh on the stomach. So it says nilasiv v'nishad, you let him chew it and spit it out. So it'll be good for his teeth. He'll get all the health benefits for that, but then he won't get it into his stomach. Kreishin, we said, leak is koshel l'shanayim v'yofel b'nimayim. It's harsh on the teeth, but it's good for the intestines. So ma'ita kanti. So how should he go about this? Let him soak it, let him cook it well, and therefore it'll be very soft, like liquidy, and then he could swallow it again without chewing, so he'll have the benefits for his stomach, and he won't have the harshness on his teeth. The Braisa continued and said, that any raw vegetable, it pales the person. So the Gemara qualifies this and says, that's only the first meal after bloodletting, where a person is weak. Again, then the raw vegetables, although it's very healthy, and therefore it's not moirik, but after letting blood, there it'll pale the person, it'll be too much for the person. Moreover, we bring from the same Amora, from Rabbi Yitzchak, kolo oichel yerek, whoever eats vegetables, koidim arba shoyis osel sape mena. Before 4 hours in the day, it's forbidden to speak to that person. And that is because since it's not the zman of sudi yet, most people didn't eat their meal if it's still 4 hours into the day. And the smell is very strong from the person that ate these vegetables, and someone that's speaking to him on the empty stomach, it's going to be harsh. As the Gemara says, my time, but what's the reason if it's 4 hours into the day where most people didn't eat yet, you can't speak to someone that ate vegetables? Mishum Reche, because of the smell, it's so strong, it's going to be difficult on the person that is smelling the vegetables that's coming out of the other person's mouth. Moreover, the Gemara brings from the same Amora a similar type of halacha. It's forbidden for a person himself to eat vegetables before 4 hours into the day. And the Gemara brings a story, and maybe because it's harsh on the person, again, it's too early in the morning, maybe for lunch you could eat raw vegetables. So then the Gemara brings a story related to these two halachas from Rabbi Yitzchak, that Amemu Mazutri B'Vashi Aviyasvi had these three Amorim that were sitting together. So it was brought before them raw vegetables before 4 hours into the morning. So Amemim and Ravashi, they were eating the raw vegetables, and Mazutra was not eating. So Amalei Maidaitech, they asked him, why are you thinking? Why aren't you eating the vegetables? Is it because the Amir B'Yitzchak, because as the halach of B'Yitzchak that he said, because whoever eats vegetables before 4 hours in the day, you can't speak to him because of the harsh smell. You obviously don't hold that's why you're not eating, because you're not going to be able to speak to people, because we are eating raw vegetables and you're speaking with us. So obviously you're not concerned with that. So why aren't you eating their vegetables, even though it's before 4 hours into the morning? So I hold like the other halacha of Rabbi Yitzchak, which is the one we quoted just before. The Rabbi Yitzchak, he says, not only can't you speak to someone if it's 4 hours in the morning, but you yourself are not allowed to eat vegetables within the first 4 hours of the morning. And that's why I'm not eating, because again, it'll be harsh on the person. However, the halacha of Asla Sapa, the first halacha we said in his name, that I don't hold of, and therefore I am allowed to talk to you because I don't hold that it's a concern. Although it's a strong odor coming from your mouth of the raw vegetables, I'm not concerned about that halacha. I'm only concerned about, I only hold like him in the other halacha, and that's why I'm not eating, but I am talking to you. So the Braisa continued that called Kotten Makten. Anything that's small, it makes small. In other words, that it didn't grow to its full growth will impede a person's growth. So the Gemara explains that Omer of Chizda, Afilah Gadir Barzuzi, this even a kid, that it's worth a zuz, that if it's not fully grown, although it's fat and it's good and it's worth a zuz, which is expensive, Still, because it didn't fully grow, it's not going to be good for a person that'll impede his growth. However, the Gemara qualifies this and says, V'le'amar nel lesbe riv, it's only if it didn't grow a quarter of its growth. But if it at least grew a quarter of its growth, we're not concerned, and there it will not impede a person's growth. It's only if it's less than a quarter of its growth, there it's concerned that it'll impede a person's growth. Then the Braisa said that kol nefesh meshiv nefesh. Anything that's a soul, in other words, is the full thing, it's fully matured, then it'll restore a person's soul that's eating it. And the Gemara says, the Amar of Papa, fili gildani de begili, which is, these were a small little, very, very small fish, and they were found between the reeds in the swamp, and although they're so small, since their derech is not to grow anymore, therefore that'll restore a person's soul. But if a small fish that's from the type of a species that grows very large, and it didn't grow even a quarter, so although that'll be bigger than these small fish, that's considered cut and marked, and that will diminish a person's growth. So again, it doesn't depend on how big or small it is, it depends on how far it's come on the yardstick of how it's fully matures to its full growth. That'll make a difference if it diminishes a person's growth or restores his soul. Then the Braisa said, yeah, kolakar of the nefesh, meshav is a nefesh. Whatever's closer to the life source of the animal that you're eating from, the closer it is, it'll restore the soul. So the Gemara says, where is this? Amar of Acha by Yaakov Unka, it's a reference to the throat. And that is, it's the place of where the Mokam HaShechita was, where the life source of the blood was, close to the heart and to the intestines. That place, if you eat from the throat, that's very healthy to the person. Amalei Rava L'shamei, Rava said to his attendant, Ki maisis li umtza de bistro, when you bring me the raw meat, tarach va'aitzi li mehecha de mekarav l'bei baruch, I want you to make your utmost effort to bring me the place that's closest to the Mokam of the bracha, in other words, where they made the bracha on the Shechita. That's what he was referencing to. He was using a bracha or a kedusha type of frame of reference, but he was trying to say, give me from the neck, because again, that's the healthiest place, because it's closer to the life source, and that restores a person's nefesh, a person's soul. Then the Braisa said, the krub l'mazon v'trudn l'refuah, that cabbage is good for sustenance, to make a person give him his nourishment, and trudn beets are there for therapeutic, it heals a person. To which the Gemara asks, krub l'mazon in ulafru aloi, so that cabbage is for sustenance, but it's not for healing, for therapy. But Tanya Bar learned the Braisa, she should devour merapin nesachoyle michol yoy ufuas and refu. There are six things to heal a sick person, and they're, so to speak, they're complete therapy, they're complete healings. Ve'eluhein, and these are kruv, cabbage, utrodden beets, umesisin yavish, and the water of dry pennyroyal, ve'kevan moa, the heris and the womb of an animal, v'yiseris hakoven, and the diaphragm. So we see that not only are beets healthful to heal a sick person, but even cabbages. So the Gemara answers, ela ema kruv af lamazin. When we said that cabbage is for sustenance, it's saying that it's also for sustenance, not just like by what's by beets that's only healing and not for sustenance. Rather, we said cabbage is even for sustenance. Then the Braisa concluded that oyle labayis ha'lefes averes betoicha, that woe to the house, in other words, to the stomach, that turnips pass through it, that someone that eats turnips, it's going to be hard on him. So the Gemara says, Ini, is that really so? V'amalei Rava l'shamei, Rava told his attendant, Ki chazis lifte b'shuka, when you see turnips in the marketplace, lo'itema li b'may karach derifte, don't tell me, in other words, don't ask me what are you going to eat your bread, which was a way of telling him that, obviously, I'm going to eat it with turnips, because that's what you're finding in the market, and it's good to eat. So how can we say that it's harsh on the person, then why would he eat the turnips? So the Gemara says that it depends how the turnips are, if it's hard or good for the person. When we said that it's harsh to the stomach that eats the turnip, it's talking about without meat. And that is, then it's harsh. But if it's cooked with meat, then the fat of the meat, so to speak, takes away the strength of the turnips, and therefore that's when Rava said that it's going to be good for him, and then he could eat it with his bread. Rava says without wine. That is, when you don't drink wine after the turnips, then it's harsh. But if you have it with wine, then again, then the turnips won't be so harsh on the person's stomach. Itmar, we learned regarding this machlik, is the Rav Amar B'li Bas. So Rav says that when the turnip's harsh, that's when it's eaten without meat, that the meat did not take away the strength of the lefes of the turnip. Shmuel Amar B'li Eitzim, Shmuel says without wood. That is, when you didn't cook it a lot, in other words, a lot of wood, to go ahead and so to speak, cook it out very well, then it's harsh. But if you cooked it very well, then the turnips, again, will not be so harsh. And the third sheet is Rav Yechon Amar B'li Yain, without wine, that then it's going to be harsh. But again, if it has either meat or wood or wine, it won't be harsh on the person. So now the Gemara brings a story related to this halacha that Amalei Rav or Rav Papa Sudni, Rav said to Rav Papa the beer brewer, and Rav Papa was someone that he sold beer, says, Anan tavrinan la bebisr b'chama, we weaken the turnip with meat and with wine, so therefore we could eat turnips. But you don't have a lot of wine. And that is because in Babel they used to drink a lot of beer, and especially him, he was a beer brewer. But my tavritula, with what do you weaken the strength of the lefes, of the turnip, that's not going to be harsh on your system? So Amalei Bitsivi says, with wood, we cook it very well, and therefore it's not harsh. Kihod the base of Rav Papa, as the wife of Rav Papa used to do, the basa de mevashala, after she would cook the turnips, tavrala betamnon oifi parsiyasi, she would break, in other words, she would weaken the turnip with 80 large logs of wood. And that is, again, that's another way to weaken the strength of the turnip, that it shouldn't be harmful to the person. So now the Gemara continues with other harmful foods. Tanu Rabban, the Rabban learned, dag kot meliach, regarding a small salted fish. Pa'amum shu'um emis, there are times that it kills a person. That is b'shiva, on the 7th, b'shiva asa on the 17th, u'be'esem b'shiva and on the 27th, v'amri la b'esem b'shlesha, and some say on the 23rd day. And this is from when it was salted, if it's 7 days post, or 17, or 27, and some say even 23, then it's harmful to the person, it could kill a person. However, v'loy amorin el b'matvi v'loy matvi, that's only if it was roasted but not roasted, in other words, it's partially roasted. V'matvi shapa lesen, but if it was fully cooked, fully roasted, then it's not a problem. And then the Gemara says that even udeloy matfi shaper, and even if it wasn't fully roasted, loy marnel loy shasa basri shicha, that's only that it could kill a person if he didn't drink afterwards beer. Shasa basri shicha lesson, but if he drank afterwards beer, then it's not a problem. So again, this day we said that these small salted fish that could kill a person on certain specific days, that's only if it wasn't fully roasted. But if it was fully roasted, it won't be a problem. And even moreover, even if it's not fully roasted, but if you drink beer afterwards, that also won't be a problem, and it won't be harmful to the person. So then the Mishnah concluded and said, that someone drinks water for his thirst. We had a machlokes of the bracha rishayin neshahakul, the bracha rishayin is a bar nefeshes rabbis. But then the Gemara asked, lafuki mai, what are we excluding? We said, if you drink water for your thirst, then you make a shahakul. And let's say it wasn't for your thirst. What are we saying? What would be the case that it wouldn't be chayiv in the bracha rishayin? Why don't you just say, hashayse mayim? Some Rav Idi bar Oven, Lafuke Laman is coming to exclude, and then we continue on to the top of Memheim and Aleph, Laman de Chanakte Umtza. It's coming to exclude someone that's only drinking water because he's choking on meat. And that is, such a person's not drinking the water for his thirst. He's just doing it to clear his throat. That person is not having a noah, and therefore he would not make a bracha rishayna. And that's what Taisa says, that Dafka Mayim, necessarily water, that there is no actual pleasure in the water, only if you're drinking it for your thirst. And therefore, the pleasure of when it comes to clear your throat from the piece of meat that you're choking on, that's not considered hana. But Tosfos says other beverages like soda or wine that the body always enjoys, the taste buds that actually enjoy it. In every situation, you would drink, you would make a bracha, even if you're choking, if a person would be choking on meat. As the Gemara in Daf Lamed Vav says that even if something's being brought for refuah, but if it's enjoyable, one would have to make a bracha. So therefore, it's dafka mayim, water that's being drunk for one's thirst, that you chayv shahakal, to exclude if it's not. For example, let's say someone is clearing his throat, or his throat is dry even possibly. There we say that the bracha rishayna would not be a shahakal, it's only when someone's drinking for his thirst. So then the Gemara says that Reb Tarfon emet bar nefesh shabbos v'chastrayna. Now our Mishnah, Reb Tarfon said, no, the bracha rishayna is not shahakal, it's a bar nefesh. So amalei rav bar rav chan labaya, v'amri lo l'rav yosef, what is the halacha? How do we paskin? What's the bracha rishayna on water? Is it shahakal or bar nefashes? Amalei pukhazi mayam devar, a famous quote that's said throughout Shas, go out and see what do the people do. And that is, what is the custom of people? And the meaning of people already is that the bracha rishayna they make a shahakal, and the bracha achrayna is a bar nefashes rabbis v'chastroinan al kol mashabar. And that is our meaning, that we make a bracha rishayna shahakal, and the bar nefashes we make as the bracha achrayna.